Normally, I don't interview Australians because, well, I'm here in flyover country in the greater Pittsburgh tri-state area, and Australia is like way, way far to the, like, away somewhere in the middle of the ocean somewhere is what I hear. Anyway, normally I don't think a whole lot about them unless it's like watching Australian rules football, which I used to when I was a kid and watched those guys in those white lab coats pointing whenever they score a touchdown or a field goal or whatever the thing is called. And I know Australia's also got your koalas, also got that bridge and that Sydney opera house and all that sort of thing. And you got your great white sharks, you got your Crocodile Dundee, you got your Steve Irwin. Well, at least you had your Steve Irwin, but anyway. So, Australia's not exactly top-of-mind awareness for me, so when I get this email from this big deal PR firm based in Atlanta, it was, wait a minute, what is this? New book by the Australian sensation Nick Adams. And I'm going, what the heck is this? Well, he wrote this book, this guy, Green Card Warrior, My Quest for Legal Immigration in an Illegals System. And turns out this guy is also the founder of this big deal organization called FLAG, F-L-A-G, the Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. And then it turns out, my sources tell me this, that he's also a New York Times bestselling author, and he's been on a lot of radio TV stations all across the world. He's a big deal guy, and I'm going, wow, maybe I need to learn a little bit more about Australia. And then more importantly, what's this Australian doing getting all involved in USA type of stuff? But seemed kind of interesting. In fact, seemed kind of real interesting. And I thought, well, if it's interesting to me, chances are it's probably going to be interesting to you, my listeners. So, Nick Adams, welcome. Good day, mate. That's the only Australian that I know. How you doing?
G'day, Dimitri. I'm doing very well. Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to join you and all of you listeners.
Excellent. So you're the author of Green Card Warrior, My Quest for Legal Immigration in an Illegals System. Are you an illegal alien here in America? Because if you are, I'm calling ICE and we're going to have you deported, pal.
No, Dimitri, I am about as illegal as they can possibly get. And in fact, it cost me close to $50,000 and almost 5 years to get that legal status. And that's in fact what Green Card Warrior, My Quest for Legal Immigration in an Illegal System, is all about. Finally, on the 29th of July of 2016, just about 9 weeks ago, I finally immigrated to the United States. But this book that's coming out, Dimitri, is all about what I had to go through in order to get my green card. And when you compare it to how people come to the United States illegally, well, it just makes you want to get out of baseball bat. It really does.
I hear you. Now, you don't have baseball down under there in Australia, right? You got your cricket, is that right?
No, we'd use a cricket.
Okay,
that's
great.
Right. We'd probably use a cricket bat.
All right, give me a little background on you. You're of the Australian persuasion. Is it like Sydney or Melbourne or one of those places where you grew up?
Yeah, that's right. So I was born in Sydney, and I was the youngest, one of the youngest ever elected councilman in Sydney, in an area of Sydney. And then I became the youngest deputy mayor in Australian history in Sydney just 8 days after my 21st birthday. So I was involved in politics in Australia, but I'd always had this real passion, Dimitri, to come to the United States. There was something about the energy, the optimism, the excitement, the fact that you could color outside of the lines and be rewarded for it rather than punished and castigated. And so I was always desperate to come to the U.S. And
why is Australia?
I started coming here.
Okay, back to Australia, though, if you would, please. Why is Australia so bad? I thought it was a very cool country, even though you drive on the wrong side of the street.
Well, look, it's not a bad country at all, Dimitri, but it depends on what you want to do. Australia is a collectivist society. It's a conformist society, contrary to the international perception about Australians being these rugged individualists that box kangaroos by day and wrestle crocodiles by night.
Right, right.
The domestic reality is very different. You know, 18 of our 23 million people live in one of the six major cities. We're actually a bunch of city slickers, not these rugged individualists that don't take any nonsense and stand up for themselves. So Australia is a wonderful place if you want to lead a very contented life measured by small steps. But if you want to blaze a trail and leave a legacy and stand out and colour outside of the lines. That's really not the place for you. And the best way of proving that to you, Dimitri, is that I can bet you that any famous Australian that you know doesn't live in Australia. They live in America.
Well, you may very well be right, because I don't know any Australians. I just don't know anybody. I mean, what can I tell you? So what's it like boxing a kangaroo?
Well, look, as long as you get them with a strong right cross early on, you should be good to go, Dimitri. But, no, look, they are a fearsome creature. I mean, they love boxing, but when they kind of pull up their hind legs and have a swing at you with their legs that you're in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, I heard that they've got toenails that are so bad they can actually gut you, they can cut you open. They're actually very vicious creatures. Is that true?
Well, I don't know about them being vicious, but certainly the toenails aspect of them is dead on. They can do a whole lot of damage to you. So it's best to just admire them from afar.
All right. Now, the biggest predator that you have there, and we'll get to your United States thing here, but I'm trying to learn something about Australia. I barely got through high school, as you can probably guess by this thing. A dingo, is that like the biggest predator you have there in Australia? And isn't that just like another name for a dog?
Well, the dingo is kind of like a coyote, I guess, would be the best analogy to use for America and the American context. But yeah, dingo is a dog, and dingoes are awful kinds of dogs and creatures, and they can do all kinds of things. We've had a couple of cases in Australia where babies have been eaten by dingoes. So we've really, dingoes are not all that fantastic, Dimitri. I wouldn't be eating one soon, but I can tell you that kangaroo tastes like chicken.
Really?
For anyone that's been wondering. Yeah, exactly the same.
All right, great, great, great. Now, how long were you in Australia before you tried to become one of us?
Well, so I started coming over to the U.S., Dimitri, on speaking tours and media tours in 2009. And so between 2009 and now this last year, I'd come to America 17 times, back and forth, two or three times a year, sometimes more. And in about 2012, I decided that it was time to immigrate to the U.S. or begin the process, because I knew it was an expensive process, and I knew that it was a long process. And
all so right, let's do this. Was there one moment, was there one episode, was there one thing that happened to you in Australia where the light bulb went on over your head and you said, you know, it's not going to happen here for me. I've got to go to the United States. Was there one episode that pretty much tore it there for you?
No, because it wasn't really a matter of not being able to do what I wanted to do in Australia. Dimitri, it was more a matter of America's the greatest country in the history of the world. This is where the best of the best are. I kind of like the way that these people think more. I kind of like the way that their culture is geared around striving for greatness as opposed to mediocrity. I kind of like that America is about kicking butt rather than kissing it. And this is really my kind of place. I've always felt like I should have been born in the United States. You know, I've immigrated here, but really I feel like I've come home this is more me.
Yeah. Well, it'll really be you when you can lose the Australian accent, but it's okay for now. But I'm going to recommend that you lose the Australian accent. Now, why did it cost?
I'm working on.
Okay, why did it cost you so much money to become an American citizen? I'm stunned. When I read this, I was going, "Wait a minute, what? $50,000? What? Why did it cost you so much?"
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, it costs a lot of money to begin with. It just does. And it's 50,000 Australian dollars, which, you know, is about 35,000 American. And generally speaking, it costs somewhere between $15,000 to $20,000 to do it. But mine was even more, Dimitri, and this is what the book is about. Mine was even more because mine was the first documented case of the Obama administration using the State Department to screen potential immigrants based on their politics. So I had an approved extraordinary ability green card petition by the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service. And the very last step in the process is to go to the local U.S. consulate or embassy in your home country, and it's meant to be a very routine and procedural thing where you present the originals of your birth certificate and your passport and your medical check and your police check, and then you're good to go. They give you what's called an immigrant visa, and then you travel to the U.S. and you collect your green card. Well, I was at the very last step. I went to the U.S. consulate in Sydney, and I got an individual there who ended up turning my life, Dimitri, completely upside down. It involved being put on a no-fly list. It involved facing a permanent ban, never being able to re-enter the United States in my lifetime again. And it was a terrible, terrible, terrible 10 months. And if it wasn't for the assistance of many U.S. senators and congressmen that were concerned and, in fact, outraged by what I was being put through, and made that very clear, it's probably likely that I wouldn't be here today.
Why do they target you?
Well, the whole way through, even to this day, Dimitri, I was never ever given an answer on. I was never ever given the reasons why the U.S. consulate sent back my application with a recommendation that the approval be revoked. An extraordinary act, one that many legal people have called a gross aggressionary power. I was never given the reasons for that, but I was able, through the equivalent of the State Department in the Australian government, I was able to get a list of names of all of the diplomats that are in Australia from every country. I narrowed it down to America, and then I narrowed it down further to the U.S. consulate in Sydney. I knew from correspondence that I had that, you see, no one, they don't give any names out because of the terror threat and everything else. And so I knew that the position of the individual that was involved was a vice consul. And I managed to go through all of the vice consul names. I used social media to identify the person because this person had interviewed me. And I found out through his social media that he had the opposite politics to me. And as someone that has suffered a lifetime of oppression by the left, I knew instinctively exactly what had happened.
And what are
and,
your... What are your
and I what, was targeted because of my politics.
What are your politics?
Well, I'm a conservative. I'm a patriot. I'm a Christian. I'm normal. I've got a traditional worldview. Unfortunately, in the world today, when the elites in the bureaucracies, in the education system, in the government, and in the media, that's often persona, that makes you persona non grata. And that's basically what I was. And so my life was turned upside down all because I happened to be of a different sexual orientation to this individual, because of the views that I held, and because I'm got a different approach.
So are you saying
culture and society?
Are you saying that you were discriminated against because you were straight or because you were gay, or is there something else?
No, I'm saying to you that I'm a straight, white, middle-class male, well-educated. These days in the culture, that means that you're not allowed a voice. That means that you're not allowed to express your opinion. And unfortunately, I came across someone that I believe and I suspect that felt that very same way as the mainstream culture has headed.
And so who was your biggest champion? Is there one congressman, one senator, one person in the media who you could point to and go, this person was my hero?
But Dimitri, there were several. There were several that got involved. At the end of the book, in Green Card Warrior, I make a list of all the United States senators and congressmen that were kind enough to stick their neck out for me.
Was there one who stood out? Is there one who stood out?
Well, there were a whole bunch of them, and I think that all of them made a wonderful contribution, and I'd hate to diminish the contribution of the others by just naming one.
All right. So it took you a long period of time. Did you have to go to court, or how did you finally win them over? Because it's still the Obama administration.
It's a great question, Dimitri. So what happened was the United States consulate sent back my application with a recommendation that the original approval be revoked. And the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service had a decision to make. They had to look over again the application that had been sent back to them, and they either could agree with the recommendation that had been given to them, or they could reaffirm their original approval. And I must be one of the only people, Dimitri, in American history to have had their extraordinary ability green card approved twice. Because that's exactly what happened. USCIS gave me the green light again, saying that I qualified for the extraordinary ability green card, and issued instructions for the consulate to grant that immigrant visa straight away.
Were you able to sue that jerk who tried to keep you from entering America because of your politics?
No, but there is a complaint that is pending with the State Department.
Okay, well, good luck with that, the State Department, Jesus. Why didn't you just marry an American girl?
It's a good question. It's a great question. The truth is that God hasn't put the right one in front of me just yet, Dimitri, but that doesn't mean that I'm not interviewing, vetting, and doing other things for a number of candidates.
Well, no. I'm not talking about love and, you know, birds and the bees and all that crap. I'm just talking about, wouldn't that have been a simple, easy way to get into the United States? Just marry an American girl, any American woman, and stay married for a few years, and, you know, you're in like Flynn.
Well, that's not really my style, to be honest with you, Dimitri. I love America, and the first thing I'm going to do is not to break the law of that land that I want to be a part of. But you're right, it would have been a lot easier to just cross the Rio Grande. It would have been a lot easier to marry an American girl, as you say. But I decided to do it the right way, the moral way, the ethical way, and it's just unfortunate that someone that does all the right things is given such an incredibly hard time. But if you do it the wrong way, you come in and you're unvetted, you're undocumented, but you get a red carpet welcome.
Absolutely.
And I just think that's outrageous.
Well, what about just getting a work visa and then overstaying your visa? Because that seems to be the most popular way to become an American.
Well, that's another way. But look, I identified early, Dimitri, I'm kind of pretty American in my thinking and my spirit. I didn't want to be beholden to anyone. I didn't want to have to rely on anyone or anything in particular. So I made the case for extraordinary ability. It's the most coveted kind of green card. It's the rarest, can be awarded. You have to prove that you have risen to the top 5% of your chosen field through extensive documentation, and that alone took me more than a year to compile and assemble and get everything together. The great thing about the extraordinary ability green card, Dimitri, is that it's a fast track to citizenship. There's no labor certification, and so on the 29th of July 2021, I can do what I've always wanted to do, and that is take the pledge and become an American citizen.
All right. So what makes you so extraordinary?
Well, you haven't seen me in the flesh, Dimitri, obviously.
Oh, please.
No, look, I'm a young man who's been blessed to achieve a lot of wonderful things in my lifetime. I was the valedictorian of my school. I was publicly elected to political office at 19, the youngest deputy mayor at 21. I was a best-selling author before I turned 30. Now, having just turned 32, I have spoken in more than half of the states in America. I'm a regular on Fox News. I've been on almost every major radio and television program, including the Dimitri Show in the United States. I've spoken in 5 different countries. I'm considered an expert worldwide on American exceptionalism. And I studied hard and I ate my spinach. What else can I tell you?
When you say American exceptionalism, I hear that phrase a lot. I know President Obama was asked that, and, you know, his answer was, you know, typically, you know, half-ass and, you know, muddled and this, that, and the other. But I don't know that I've ever heard a good, simple, clean definition of American exceptionalism.
You want me to give you one?
Yeah.
It's individualism, not collectivism. Patriotism, not relativism. Faith, not secularism. Equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome. God, not government. It's about being bold, not being bland. It's about life, not death. They're the things that make America different to everywhere else on the planet.
What's been the biggest disappointment that you've had in America?
Biggest disappointment that I've had in America? Well, I've got to tell you that I definitely prefer the coffee in Australia. And I definitely prefer the beer in Australia.
Foster's Lager. Is that what you like? That Foster's Lager beer that looks in that big barrel Foster's, thing that they sell?
No, Dimitri, I've got to give you a lesson on that action.
Oh.
Look, Foster's Lager.
Lager.
That's how you say it.
All right. Foster's Lager.
That's right.
All right. So what makes Foster's such a good beer?
Well, look, it's really not, to be honest with you, that's another great act of deceit that has been perpetrated by Australian. Foster's is Australian for beer, as the saying goes, but the truth is that no Australians actually drink Foster's in Australia.
Oh, no! Are you serious? I think we're breaking some news here. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
so what about the coffee? Now, you've got coffee. Does it come from Indonesia? Is that what makes your coffee better, or what?
No. I think they get all the beans. I mean, you can get Australian-style coffee in America. I mean, I've had it at a few select places in New York and elsewhere that I've been to. But generally, filtered coffee is not a big thing in Australia at all. It's all kind of the fancy-dancy Italian-style coffee, rich, creamy, all that kind of stuff. So the coffee's better. But look, I come over here because I love pickup trucks. I love the 16-lane highways. I love the buffets and all the good and unhealthy stuff.
All right. Now, what happens if Hillary Clinton becomes president of the United States? Will you be moving back to Australia?
No, I won't, because I mean, I love America, and I believe in America no matter who the president is. I think that America is not just a country. It's an idea. It's an ideal. It's a notion. It's an improbable and daring experiment. The experiment, I think, of humanity. It's the shot that was heard around the world. It still is. And so I'm here to fight for the U.S. I'm here to fight for the U.S. I'm here to keep it as strong as possible, because I recognize that what's good for America is good for the world. When America's strong, the world's strong. When America's weak, the world is a weak and a dangerous place. I do think America would be better served by a President Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton. But I can't vote this year unless I move to Chicago.
Well, Philadelphia. You could probably do it in Philadelphia, too.
I could do it there as well.
Yeah, probably Philadelphia, too. That'd be my guess. Is there one? What was the most surprising thing about being an American? Once it became official and you came over here and all that, was there one thing that really godsmacked you?
No, look, not really, Dimitri. I mean, I've been so fascinated with the U.S. for such a long time, and this is why it's really a great moment for me to be doing this interview with you, because my favorite movie, my favorite movie series, my favorite the thing that really got me hooked on the United States, Rocky. And every single time I'm going between Washington and New York, I will get out in Philadelphia, I will catch a cab, I will go to the art museum, and I'll run up the steps.
You mean that literally? You actually do that?
Yes, sir, I do.
How many times?
And I've been to every single movie location. I've gone to where Mickey Jim was, which is a very unsavory neighborhood right now. And so I've been to all of those places where he met Adrian, where the fish shop was. So I've done all of that.
Oh,
and,
my. How many times? How many times did you run up the stairs?
Oh, I've been at least 10 or 11 times.
Oh, that is so cool. I love it. That is so cool. Now, do you have the theme from Rocky, that Maynard Ferguson song or music?
Yeah, of course. I've got all of them. I've got every single track from all of the six movies.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's
including Creed now, which came out, which was number 7. I'm not officially part of the Rocky, but yeah, no. And so what's more American than Rocky Balboa and his story?
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
Incredible.
Did you ever practice running around trying to catch a chicken?
That's one thing I didn't do.
Ah, well, there you go. Bates, you need to do that. You need to do that. Find a chicken and start running around trying to catch it.
Yeah, I need to get that gray, smelly, holes in it shirt and run around and chase some chicken. No, look, I haven't, but I will tell you this, that, you know, it was really the Rocky movies that got me into working out and going to the gym, and now I've kind of never left.
Wow. Jeez. You know, my favorite song from all those Rocky films was actually James Brown, Living in the USA.
Oh, isn't that a great movie?
Oh,
Detroit City, Dallas,
Pittsburgh, PA.
Well, Rocky IV, which is the one that James Brown performed that song in,
yep.
Rocky IV is actually my favorite of the series. Is that your favorite, too?
I love that scene. And the Drago is looking around going, what the hell is this? And it was just so James Brown. It was just so wonderful about, you know, living in America. Now I've got a brain lock. Is it Living in the USA or Living in America? Living in America.
No, Living in America.
America, that's it. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, USA. Yeah. But,
Super Highway.
Yes.
Highway.
Detroit City.
Coast to coast.
And then that horn.
No.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Now, before we end this interview, and I appreciate all the time that you've given us, Nick. I mean, you are a New York Times bestselling author. Your book is Green Card Warrior, My Quest for Legal Immigration in an Illegal System. And, of course, the thing that I found most fascinating is your whole thing with Rocky going up and down those stairs all the time. I mean, my God, that's a really interesting glimpse into who you are. That was like, wow, Jesus. Okay, great. So, is there anything else I should have asked you about either this book or your experiences that our listeners would really, really care about?
No, look, Demetri, I think it's been a fantastic interview, and we've really covered a lot. I encourage all of your listeners to consider going there and ordering the book on Amazon, Green Card Warrior. It's just $9.50, so it's not going to break the bank account. $9.50, and it's a personal
account. Slow down. $9.50. Is this Australian or American?
$9.50 U.S.
All right, so that's American. All right, so it's a little bit more than what I had thought. Okay, well, let's do this. I always give my guest the last word, Nick Adams, and I'm going to hand you my Shure SM7B dynamic microphone. It's a great opportunity for you to speak directly to my listeners. Don't even worry about me. Speak directly to my listeners, and you're free to repeat key points about anything that you've discussed or bring up points that we haven't discussed. Also, to shamelessly promote your appearances, your speaking engagements, your books, your websites, your social media, anything and everything. So, Nick Adams, author of Green Card Warrior, My Quest for Legal Immigration in an Illegal System, my microphone is yours.
I would say to every single person out there listening to this, always believe in America, always love the United States of America. America isn't perfect. She has made mistakes, but America is the best thing that we have. It is the glue that holds civilization and the world and our lifestyle as we know it together. It is the greatest country in the history of the world. In almost 5,000 years of recorded human history, we've never seen a country, a culture, or a people like the American culture, people, or nation ever before. And it's really important that we keep America as strong as possible. I've come here to make, not take, to give, not receive. I came here because I wanted to upwardly assimilate to the finest culture available here in the world, a culture that rewards success, a culture that rewards risk, a culture that doesn't look favorably upon mediocrity. And that's why all my life I wanted to be an American. And I started the process to become an American back in 2012, and it took me 4 years, and it cost me almost $50,000 to do it. It's outrageous that legal immigration for good people like me is next to impossible. But for those that don't like America, or worse, hate America, and want to come and take, not make, and receive, and not give, it's just a moral inversion of the worst kind. And I ask all of you to consider ordering Green Card Warrior, my quest for legal immigration in an illegal system. It is an explosive, tell-all book that will make you so frustrated and will teach you so many things that you didn't even realize. Green Card Warrior is just $9.50 on Amazon right now. Go there and have a look and have a read about what some people have to do and go through to come to this country and how much it means to them. It will be so eye-opening, and I believe it will impact this presidential election by catapulting immigration back to the forefront of the discussion. This is the first documented case of the State Department using the legal immigration system to vet potential immigrants based on their politics. This is the John Kerry State Department, the Hillary Clinton State Department, the Obama administration State Department. This is explosive. You need to know what's going on. Green Card Warrior, $9.50. Go and get it.
What about a website, Facebook, and Twitter?
Well, website, you can go and have a look at my nonprofit. I have a new nonprofit. It's called FLAG, the Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. The website for that is flagusa.org. That's flagusa.org. FLAG is the world's only fighting force against anti-Americanism. We're all about promoting American exceptionalism and combating anti-Americanism. We're educational. We go into as many elementary, middle, and high schools as we possibly can and talk to kids about what makes America special, what makes it different, why they should be proud, what all America has given the world, and why the United States has been an unparalleled force for good in this world. It's all about countering the anti-Americanism so prevalent among teachers.
Facebook and Twitter?
Facebook and Twitter, you can find me. I mean, you can find FLAG and me. You can just type in Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. And if you want to find me, you can find me under Nick Adams. I'm the good-looking Australian guy. Can't miss me.
Excellent.